Today on Seculo, President Biden labeling Trump supporters as semi-fascists. We'll talk about it today and more on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, too. I want to get your thoughts on this at 1-800-684-3110. So President Biden, he goes into a DNC fundraiser in Maryland on Friday. They think, again, in those fundraisers, they'll start talking off the cuff. And you can imagine, in his case, he might get some interesting political statements. And there are reporters present. There's people present there, of course, the people that, you know, big donors that like talking to reporters. So whatever's said is always ends up in the news if there was anything newsworthy. And there was an item that, you know, outlets like NBC thought was pretty newsworthy because Joe Biden, if it's hard to remember these days, it certainly doesn't feel this way politically, that he ran as this kind of idea of we can, you know, unite as a country and it's okay if you were, you know, MAGA, if it's okay if you were this. It's not like we're all Americans. But now he's gone back to this a very different divisive strategy that he thinks will help Democrats in the midterms. I think it'll help him politically be more relevant. He said this about MAGA Americans. Quote, "It's not just Trump. It's the entire philosophy that underpins the, I'm going to say something, it's like semi-fascism." Now, 74 million people voted for Donald Trump in 2020. This idea that we are semi-fascist. Yeah. And now he does acknowledge that statement too. He talks about MAGA. That it's not just about if you're a Trump supporter, if you like, you know, Ron DeSantis or any of these 95% of the candidates who won that Trump backed in the primaries, if you support any of those, you are now supporting some form of fascism, which in our country is only seen as basically a step before calling someone a Nazi.
What is a semi-fascist? Is that like Mussolini before Hitler rose to power and then Mussolini became a full fascist instead of a semi-fascist? I mean, here's the problem. It's heavy-duty political rhetoric at a time when the divisiveness of government entities is at an all-time high. And I want to use this as a pivot point to say you had a raid on the former president of the United States' home in Florida for documents. We talked about that on Friday's broadcast. You have a judge then appoints a special master. Then you have the Department of Justice saying, that's great that you're appointing a special master, but we're done with our review. Review is complete. It's over. We've looked at all the documents. Which does say this, to when you're handling a case like this, and I have handled this case, as most of you know, not this particular one, but one similar that went on for a number of years. You have to, the lawyers or... And it may not just be the lawyers. It may be dealing with their client, the former president. I don't know. They're not responding at the speed of relevant. They are responding at the speed of irrelevant. And that's why I am not shocked today that a special master is appointed, or at least the judge is leaning towards the appointment of a special master. But at the same time, the Department of Justice files a document that says we're done with the review, which means it's already been shared.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got this news, you've got the fascist news. I want to play this too from President Biden. You might think, okay, I don't. You're reading this report. Did he actually say it this way? He got asked after the fundraiser, "What were you talking about there?" Take a listen.
What do you mean by semi-fascism, sir?
So in December, you will.
You know what I mean.
So there you go. I mean, he not backing away at all from the statement. So this is not a time when the White House said, "Oh, that's not what he meant," or go too far. I meant more about this. It's about half the country, the political movement, labeling it as, and again, I think you only use fascist in a sense of it's the word you say before Nazi. And that whether, you know, you can get into the politics and the theories of what is a fascist, what is it, but that's how we hear the term. When you're using it in a derogatory political sense, not in a historical context, not putting it together, it is, you're Nazi. That's what you say, semi-Nazi. 1-800-684-3110. What does this do to the country? What does this do to your community? 1-800-684-3110. Join us on the broadcast. Support the work of the ACLJ. Just a couple days left in our matching challenge. Donate today at aclj.org and double your impact. We'll be right back.
Seculo.
Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There was some...
I'd like to hear from our audience on this whole thing. Yeah. How do you react to being, as a conservative, being labeled by the current president of the United States a, quote, semi-fascist? I mean, that's not just the Donald Trump line that he's going after the former president, but they're labeling a whole body politic. So I don't like using the word fascist. I don't like using the word Nazi. Okay? We don't have fascists and Nazis in this country that are running government. But I also want to say that the situation with what's going on with the raid of the former president's house is taking a very dynamic turn, I will say, Jordan, in that the judge indicated on Saturday, that she was inclined to put a special master in place to review these documents. That is an independent third-party taint review, not just the Department of Justice. And as I predicted, the Department of Justice has come back and said, well, that's interesting, but we already finished our review, which means they've already finished their review. They've just, if there is something that they think should be not included, it's not included. If not, it's gone to the Department of the FBI, the investigators on this. So I use that line, which is actually in a book by General Mattis. It says you got to speed, responding at the speed of irrelevant is not responding. And unfortunately, I'm not blaming the lawyers on this because I don't know what the dynamic is between the lawyers and the clients, but they're not speeding. They're not responding at the speed of relevant here, and this is starting to have a dramatic effect on a political situation that is already dynamic to begin with. And I say dynamic as because the current president of the United States Department of Justice is going after criminally, it looks like, the former president of the United States.
Yeah,
so all that in this mix.
Yeah, and I think that this is another. This just broke this morning. The idea that you've got the special master that broke over the weekend, and then immediately Department of Justice says, hey, FBI's reviewed everything. So what happens next to that statement? I think, that, again, this ongoing, these legal issues, at what point, and I think it's going to, it seems like it's going one way or the other, which is that this just kind of becomes a documents paper game. But the threat of indictment still hangs over the president. 100%. And certainly the left is pushing for an arrest. I mean, that's what they want to see. Similar to the Hillary Clinton situation where the right was saying, hey, where are the laws here? They're saying, hey, if you're going to make those allegations, you should stand up to your, stand by your allegations. There's obviously bigger things at play here. They have to consider what that would mean. And it's not just the threats, but what it would mean to the country as a whole.
I think it's so damaging.
Yeah.
I mean, politically, what are we, in about a week, we are going to be in the final 8 weeks of the election for the midterms. We can't say, well, a lot of things can change, of course, in 2 months. But Jordan, you're at the threshold. After the holiday, everybody, that's where they start paying attention.
Yeah. No, this is what I think is...
And it's the level is angst way up.
Yeah. This is what I think we have to figure out is that we know that the rhetoric is going high. We know that there's FBI raids on former presidents' homes. We know that that's not going to be over with. And that the rhetoric is not going to be over with. The idea is, I think it's easy for them to say these things about their fellow Americans when they say it's MAGA, because they don't acknowledge that that's like half the country. But that is about where half the country would vote. It's not that half the country is all about politics all the time, but this idea they're trying to scare people away, because the way that American hears the term fascist,
whoa,
is not just an authoritarian leader. That's, you could say all those kind of terms. I think the only way it's defined in the United States, when you're talking just in a regular way, not in a class, not in a lecture, you're calling someone a Nazi. It's just another way of calling someone a Nazi. That's the kind of the last
terms we should not be throwing around.
Not to throw around to a group that goes to elections, votes, has political beliefs, because you don't like the American First agenda, or you don't like their position on drilling, on oil and gas, or taxes. It's not like Donald Trump went around starting wars, or this kind of violence. This idea that's somehow what was being exported, which you kind of also associate with Nazism, is invading countries, things like that. But the idea that if the rhetoric has gotten this far and they think this is the kind of rhetoric that's working, we hit another new wall where that's going to be the norm, that you could just call someone a fascist.
Yeah, but you got to put, I'm putting in the context of the whole, looking at both the statements coming out of the White House from the president calling conservatives semi-fascists, and then at the same time that, you know, authorizing the Department of Justice, authorizing, which is under President Biden, authorizing a raid and a search warrant to be executed on the former president of the United States House, which amped up again the level of angst. And at the same time, then you have a judge, that a magistrate that signed the order that should have never signed the order in the first place, because he shouldn't have heard it in the first place. He recused himself from a civil case. He certainly should have from a criminal search warrant. And then to complicate it even more, you have finally the lawyers file this motion to get a special master, only to find out, which is, again, not shocking to me, that the Department of Justice has already completed its review. So you've got to put all that together and realize what's at stake here. And this is amping up the political environment to a level that I don't think we've seen in U.S. history.
No, I think that calling people fascists is different than just saying, you know, conservatives or liberals and out of line and socialist, and because even socialism is not identified as the same as communist, or it's different ideology. And we have actual communists in the world that we're dealing with, like the Chinese Communist Party. We do have socialist politics in our country, just like we have liberal politics, conservative politics, and again, the American First. You could call isolationists, you could call lots of terms, but when you start using words like fascist, I think it's just very dangerous. I think a lot of people agree. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the broadcast. Let's go to the phones and start with Bill in California, on line four. Hey, Bill.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What the American people got to realize, the Democrats, they're playing a game. They're getting out in front. They're accusing us of what they are. If you look up the definition of fascism, and I got it right here, I'm going to read it. It's a political philosophy, movement, or regime that exalts nation and often race above the individual, and that stands for centralized autocratic government headed by dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. That's the definition in Webster of fascism.
So you've got Joe Biden calling conservatives semi-fascists while his Department of Justice is raiding his political opponent's home and got a judge that shouldn't have heard the case in the first place. So that's where none of this, you know, I know it's politics. And it's politics now that's starting to count, because we're getting near the end here before the midterms, and everything is tightened up. That's where all the reports are. Everything's tightened up. But you have to ask yourself this question. Do we want our body politic to be in this kind of situation? And I think the answer should be no, that this is very corrosive to a constitutional republic.
Yeah, I think, again, that definition, because fascism includes a lot of things that, by the way, conservatism, America First, back would never be a part. It's nationalizing companies. You've got a lot more similarities to the government overtake. You know, the government, the unified government, the sense of, it's not about states' power to act. It's not about this independence to act. It's about, again, nationalizing. That's what the Nazis were, nationalists, a socialist, taking over industries, the opposite of opening up your economy. So but I do think where the rhetoric goes is that you were labeling people as actual enemies. Then you're not just a political opponent at that point. No. You're an enemy to the country.
Right. And when you're it's like when I argue a case at the Supreme Court, I don't view my opponent as the enemy. He's a lawyer for the other side. I mean, that's how we live in a constitutional republic. We have the rule of law. But this is where you've amped it up. When the president of the United States starts calling, and of course the left side media is not going to call him out on this, calls conservatives semi-fascists, which is a very significant indictment, so to speak. At the same time, his Department of Justice has gone in and conducted a search of the former president of the United States House under circumstances that are questionable at best, let's be honest. And it's not defending the lawyers or the, you know, again, it could be very complicated as to what the reason that they were late in filing all this. But the late filing was answered by the Department of Justice saying, we're done. So that little win for 36 hours ended up becoming meaningless, because they're not responding at the speed of relevant. But all of this together is corrosive. Now, in the next segment, we're going to talk about what we're doing at the ACLJ to get to some of the bottom of this, including, you know, big tech like Facebook, who we're on, if you're watching there, or Rumble, or YouTube. But talking about Facebook, particularly here, they're the ones that are warned by the FBI that, hey, that Hunter Biden story may be Russian disinformation. We want your reaction to all this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll take more calls when we come back from break. Also, support the work of the ACLJ. We're in the last few days of our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for, so we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Seculo Brothers, Jordan and Logan's podcast, coming out September 12th. You can subscribe to that. We encourage you to do that as well.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We're going to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So the media is talking about the fact that President Biden used the term fascist. He called it semi-fascist, so it's coined this way, you know, you're halfway fascist, to describe a significant amount of where people are politically in America, which is they want a strong country. They do want their country's interests put first. That doesn't mean they don't care about other countries and they don't care about allies. That's not the case. They do want a free and open economic system, which is kind of the opposite of fascism. But we know what fascism is being used here. It's because he wouldn't go so far as to call them Nazis, call all of us Nazis. So because of that, he used the term down and he tries to add a semi to it. We're going to keep taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. But the media said, again, the way this is being used on NBC, I think it will start with Biden just right away. The White House didn't try to play this down or tamper down. Oh, we're talking about a small group of activists or this or that, not most Americans. Take a listen.
What's interesting about this, when he, as you described, used the word semi-fascism to describe the MAGA philosophy this week. Let's go back to March when he was in Poland. He said of Vladimir Putin that he couldn't stay in power. And that became controversial. The White House, you know, backpedaled on that, walked that back. There's no backpedaling on this. It's clear that there's a more aggressive strategy. We talked about the way that they were handling the debate over student loans.
So what I mean, okay, so they're not backing down. Their Department of Justice is executing search warrants on former president of the United States. The president apparently has been thinking this semi-fascist thought for a while, and now his aides are saying he's just articulating what he already believes. So you ask yourself this question then. Well, if this is what he really believes, and they're now willing to say it, and you're 8 weeks from an election, there's got to be a political reason that they're doing this. I'll talk about our FOIA in a minute, but what's the political reason they're doing this now, Jordan?
I mean, I think it's you want, like you said, it's popular with the liberal base, but you don't always do it just what your base wants, especially when you're getting into the general election. So you're past primary time. So I think it's this continued message. It's not about just Donald Trump. I think that's important. Remember, he said MAGA. He didn't say Trump. Acknowledgement that that movement, which is, again, a testament to the movement itself, is bigger than just one person, which is also not very fascist. Because, again, you don't, by his own statement, it's not just about Donald Trump anymore. It's about this idea of all these different candidates have been elected, all these different people won primaries. Ron DeSantis in Florida is a prime example of someone embracing the ideology.
Well, is he calling Ron DeSantis a semi-fascist?
I think so. I would imagine, yes. And that is actually in line with a lot of, if you see the kind of chatter on the left of how they describe DeSantis. You saw these ads they put up in California, just really horrendous about moving to Texas.
Yeah.
And they use the school shooting, don't move to Texas. This idea of a Texas dream is over. And they're putting that up to try and keep people from leaving California because of how bad it is there. It's saying, see, in these crazy red states, everybody's got guns. It's unsafe to go to school. So you like our heavy government policies, which is, again, more like, again, if you really look at the idea of breaking all these philosophies down, and we could do that, you could do it as an exercise as an educational exercise. But that's not what Joe Biden is doing here. He's just calling you a Nazi. It's just the nicer way of saying it.
Yeah.
And not quite as extreme. And obviously, that's playing up to not just like his base at a rally. This was the top level fundraisers.
Well, that means that, so these are the high intentional dollar messaging that they're doing here, which is corrosive to, like I said, to a constitutional republic. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, and I think about all those people in that room that are giving $25,000 and those kind of numbers, who are employing lots of people. Is that how they look down on their employees? Mm. Might have different politics than they're fascist. Not that they even strongly disagree, but they're literally an enemy of the United States of America. Back to the phones. We go. Tim in California on line three. Hey, Tim.
Thank you for taking my call. For starters, I resent being called a semi-fascist. I'm not a semi-fascist. Number two, I think the Biden administration should go back to school and study what Nazism has done. So if I was advising Biden, I would advise them to go and study people that were killed in concentration camps, the horrors of fascism.
Well, I don't even, when they say fascist, is semi-fascist, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what exactly is a semi-fascist. It's, you know, and I'm using this not to be pejorative, but I mean, Mussolini was a fascist. But when Hitler rose to power, his fascism became even more pronounced. It was horrible before, it was worse when Hitler comes on the scene. So was it Mussolini before Hitler? I mean, that's semi-fascist? I mean, this is where the language makes a difference, folks. And could you imagine if a conservative political leader said this? I believe the Democrats are fascists. That's not saying I believe they're socialist. That's not even saying I believe they're communist. It rises to a whole different level. That's what we're saying here. And language matters and words matter and the body politics matters, but these are calculated moves. I think the search warrant executed on Trump's Mar-a-Lago property is calculated. You know it's calculated. You know they thought about what are the consequences if we do this. And then everybody over the weekend that's a conservative got all excited because the judge said, I'm inclined to grant a special master to review this material. And then the Justice Department takes the wind out of that balloon, or the air out of that balloon, this morning by saying, by the way, we're done reviewing it. We've completed the review. That's why responding at the speed of irrelevant doesn't really work.
Yeah, and I think also the legal process through this is, the ups and downs of the legal process versus the bigger picture. And like the special master was going to stop anything. You still have an affidavit heavily, you know, everybody's gone through that. We've gone through all these steps. Remember the affidavit
Based on that affidavit, and we didn't see all of it, Jordan, but because it's redacted, but they amped up the political heat in this country over a document dispute, what is what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. What we told you is we're going to learn a lot. There's going to be heavily redactions. Then on the special master issue, I think that's net news breaks, and it's just, it confuses people because it sounds like a big deal. Like it's a special, unique person. And except for the fact now that maybe it goes another run through them, but we know that they weren't dealing with 20 million documents here. So it didn't take them more than a couple weeks, and they work as they go. So and you were talking about that too. This idea is that they don't like see it all and say, okay, now we're done. Now you can invest. It's one at a time. And once it's clear,
As they're clearing documents, they're sending it over to the investigators.
Not really a way to restart this process.
With any effect?
Yeah.
No. They still should be filing motions to quash, motions to suppress. I guess those will come. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting really late.
All right, folks.
Maybe the former president decided he didn't want that done. So I don't want to be too hard on the lawyers here. Maybe the president decided he didn't want that done. It could be the approach to take. I have no idea.
Yep. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. A lot of phones coming in. A lot of questions on this. I think, again, too, the idea, everybody, it doesn't really matter where you are in the country. Now you're starting to feel the politics. So I think that now that we're through, not all, every primary, but many primaries, you start feeling the messaging of the general election. And it doesn't matter where you are. And it doesn't matter if you're in a blue state because the House seats are up too. So all of this, again, you're going to see, what is the rhetoric that they're going to decide to go with? And it seems like it's going to be very extreme. So I think we just have to be ready to fight back, strong in our beliefs, stand with us at ACLJ. Through the end of this month, we've got our matching challenge where we can double the impact of your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. And again, you go online, you donate $25. We have donors that are going to match that $25 right away. That's at ACLJ.org. Second half hour is coming up. Mike Pompeo will be joining us. We'll continue to take your phone calls on this 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The President of the United States, he goes to a high-dollar fundraiser in Maryland. These are expensive events, you know, a very private, that's just, but the media's around. And as we've known a long time now, there's no private political meetings. So he gives a speech. They're saying it was unscripted. I kind of actually have a hard time believing that he just throws in fascists. I think, you know, he's a politician.
That is calculated.
And we've seen Joe Biden scripted, non-scripted. It doesn't say he's unscripted much these days, giving a full-fledged speech. But he's giving these remarks, and he says, and here's the direct quote. Now, that's because there's so many people at that fundraiser that are talking to the media. So they're recording it, there are videos of it. And they send it to the media. But we don't have the audio yet, but we do know the full statement. White House not backing down from it, is not saying that this was wrong or taken out of context at all. In fact, they doubled down. But he says, quote, it's Joe Biden, it's not just Trump. It's the entire philosophy that underpins the I'm going to say something. It's like semi-fascism. So he goes on to say that. Then when he's asked, we'll play this sound, what did you mean about that when you call people semi-fascist? Take a listen.
What do you mean by semi-fascism,
sir? So in December, you will...
You know what I mean.
So, no backing down.
Nope. Doubling down.
I think it's also... You know what I mean is it leaves it up to, of course, where most people go, if they know the term, and I'm not trying to be mean that, obviously if this is a political term they're familiar with, their way of government, is to right away to Hitler. Right away to Nazis. I mean, that is just where you go, because that's really the last semblance of fascism that we've seen at a major scale. Even Putin and these other ideas, they use different terms, autocrat or authoritarian. They go through it, but fascism is a specific kind of political system. And in the United States, that's calling everybody an enemy. I mean, this entire block of voters going into an election where people are unhappy. But it's like, well, if you're unhappy, the other option is so bad, you can't vote that way.
But this was a president that prided himself on being, he was going to be the great uniter, right? And then he makes that statement. Listen to what Major Garrett from CBS News did when he spoke to the chair of the DNC.
You heard the president's inaugural address the same way I did. In that inaugural address, President Biden said, we should not view each other as adversaries in this country, but as neighbors, and we should treat each other with dignity and respect. How does semi-fascism, as a label for the Republican Party, fit with that inaugural address?
Well, the one thing that President Joe Biden has been is always been consistent. And he has always been somebody who does what my grandfather used to do, which is speak it plain.
Well, speak it plain, but speak it dangerous. I mean, speak it plain. Hey, man, that was plain. I believe that, you know, Republicans are semi-fascist. But my goodness, you've just labeled half the country as autocrats dangerous to the republic. So, you know, the DNC's response, though, is very interesting. Speak it plain. They're not backing down from this. So I wonder, this is what I'm wondering as we go into this break. We'll be joined by Mike Pompeo. I want to ask him this. Is this a politically calculated, did they politically calculate this move, Jordan, to say we are going to ride on this? This is something we're going to ride the tails of. This kind of review all these conservatives as semi-fascist. I'm not calling them fascists, just semi-fascist.
I think that there's definitely a calculation that, and again, this is just from the other side, because it's clear what they're doing is resurrecting Trump as much as possible. They want it to all be about him, without him being on the ballot, without him giving a chance to run. He's not running a full-fledged campaign. He's not out there maybe endorsing candidates, but that's who's really on the ballot. I don't think they want you to focus in on the Fetterman of the world. They want you to just think, don't vote for the Trump candidate. And so that this idea, and that will work in enough states, and they're getting the media to write their stories today, that they have a chance of keeping back the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
So that is now the narrative. That helps a lot when you're trying to get people on the left to give you money. Because you guys,
and they have tightened up.
Yeah, you got
the races have tightened up.
But they have to have a reason to give also. So I think the tougher rhetoric, the raid on Marla, all of this ties it together. And it seems to be like the White House is taking their strategy from new people. We've been talking about that a lot. They killed the disinformation. You know, they've just started doing things to distance themselves and kind of restart. Eight four 3110 right to the phones. We go. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Justin, North Carolina, online too. Hey, Justin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One. This is kind of a general statement, but you know, why should I vote? And when I say that, is a lot of the rhetoric that I hear, and you know, I know how it goes. It's ratings and whatnot, but on your show and other conservative shows, it's very reactionary. I'm only hearing about what the Democrats are doing. I never hear about what the Republicans, what are conservatives doing?
Well, I think you'd have to look at the state. At the federal level, they're fighting back. So it is reactionary. I mean, there's only so much you could, I think you got used to 4 years, three Supreme Court nominees, lots of legislation moving. Credit that to President Trump and the congressional leaders. But conservatives have been in the minority. And so what do you expect them to be doing? Now, they put out policy proposals, but they don't get a lot of attention, and there's not a ton of reason. Now they start getting more, because you start getting to an election where you got to say, why to vote for me? So I think you're right to a certain extent, but you also have to just grow up with our politics. And the politics are, if the House is run by Nancy Pelosi and the Senate is run by Chuck Schumer and the White House is run by Joe Biden, guess what you're not going to be doing a lot of as a conservative? Legislating. Policy proposals are not going anywhere. So what you have to do is start planning on what you would do just to push back on their proposals. So we talked to Senator Graham. We talked about how they have legislated the funding of $87 billion, but they haven't appropriated yet to the IRS. So that even if the House comes back, they could put some wrenches in these programs. But that is what it is. I mean, I think that we don't. If you came to politics under Trump, a lot of people did.
Yes.
And you got used to saying, we're going to do this.
And we do it.
We're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We do that. And we're going to support this ally. We're going to put America first. We're going to build a wall. They say, no, we can't. They start building a wall. And then you go back into reality of a Democrat political system when they run every part of it.
And right now they have the White House, the House, and the Senate.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. So I think you have to take your steps back to incrementally get there. And it shouldn't feel like, oh, don't vote, but also know why you're voting and what you're voting for.
You're in a constitutional republic. These things do happen. I mean, you do have seasons in politics.
Yep.
There's a pendulum swing. The pendulum swung very hard left, and that was not working for President Biden. So what does he do? He brings it a little bit more center left, still left, but center left. But then he doubles down and decides to label conservatives as semi-fascist. But there's a political motivation for all of these actions. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, and I think that part of that, too, to the Republicans is this divide and conquer idea, which is he didn't say Republicans. So he's still trying to say, see, I'm not saying just the opposition is all bad to my views. It's this group of opposition. But what we know is that is the single largest group within the Republican Party now and the political movement. We saw in the primaries clear who people are choosing to represent them in the general election. Back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Rodney in Arizona, online one. Hey, Rodney.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, if Trump had said something that the same thing that Biden has said and called the Democratic Party that, or the leftist part that, it would have been the biggest uproar. It would have been on every news station. It would have been in three bold printed letters in the newspaper. It would have been the biggest news story in decades.
Well, it would have been, you know, he's demonizing, he's calling it. You know,
but CBS did cover this. NBC has covered it.
It's that big of a statement. I think that's the interesting part is if NBC's covering it right off the top and all the different networks are covering, there's a reason why. It's because labeling that many of your fellow Americans with a term that is associated mostly with Nazis these days. Okay, that's and these days being since the 1940s, that's going a different step. It's taking a different step. It is basket deplorable, similar to that, but even deplorable is not associated with a specific
totalitarian movement.
No.
Okay. So we played NBC, we played CBS. So this is making news. People were shocked, even in the left wing media, liberal media. Pam Brown on CNN, number 25.
What do you think about the president calling millions of Americans semi-fascist?
Listen, he's got to express and be honest about what he feels in his heart and his soul. And I think that's probably exactly what he did.
So in his heart and soul, he thinks millions of Americans are semi-fascist? This is the guy, by the way, that's running for governor of Florida. Got the Democratic nomination. In his heart and soul, Charlie Crist, who used to be a Republican, by the way, believes now that Republicans are semi-fascist. I mean, let that sink in for a minute. But I will say the media is addressing this.
Yeah, I think because it's such an extreme use of language at a time when they're constantly pointing to the right of name-calling on the right and this and that. And again, politics is rough. It's getting rougher and rougher in our country. I think it's just being put on display. We see, but this kind of rhetoric, again, we've been told, you know, shy away from talking about the issues. Don't make it so personal to people. Obviously, as we're getting close to the general election, this is about dividing neighbors. You know, it's about saying, well, if this, think about it this way. If the neighbor next door to you is a fascist, that's like saying your neighbor next door is a Nazi because they have different politics than you. That's never been really where we were as a country in the modern age, at least. And, you know, to me, though, there's obviously somewhere this is resonating.
Yeah.
And I think it's, again, they go back to the moms. They go back to suburbs. And yes, the economy, of course, these pocketbook issues are always number one. But if you look at number two and number three, they are issues like this. How you feel about your country. So to me, none of this is unscripted. That's the part I don't believe. I don't think anything is unscripted. I think it's all happening for the same purpose, which is to divide and conquer. Yep. And exactly like we saw that caller say, is maybe I shouldn't show up to vote. That sentiment seeping in already this
they
early.
They want that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's exactly. That's why I think this was well orchestrated. Let's go ahead and take some more calls.
Yeah, let's go to Nick in D.C. on line three. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hi there. Thank you, gentlemen, for everything that you guys do.
Sure.
It's pretty obvious to me what the Democrats and the FBI have been trying to do to Donald Trump for the last 6 years is basically get rid of him. And if they're successful in indicting him, is Donald Trump, is it game over for Donald Trump?
Well, if you're indicted, an indictment doesn't disqualify you because you're presumed innocent. If you're convicted, that's a whole different story. But it would wreak havoc in the political system if the Republican nominee was under indictment.
Yes. I mean, I don't. Again,
I can't imagine that.
If legal burden hurdles is one thing, but then there's just the realities of the politics of all of that and what that would do to the country. I tell you, this administration feels like they're not going there right now, but you didn't think that they were going to raid either.
No, you didn't.
So, I mean, I wouldn't put anything by them yet. I mean, the headline in Drudge, which I think, you know, he's pretty anti-Trump and showing it every single day, but is a superimposed head of Donald Trump in an orange jumpsuit.
You know, oh, yeah.
So that is, there is a push. And I will tell all of you right now, I think if you listen to this broadcast long enough, you know, there's plenty of Republicans. They may not love the idea, but it moves him out of the way. Especially if there's more legal actions that are just so distracting, even if they're not disqualifying, but so distracting that how could you possibly run this idea? So that's when you get into some next level political stuff, which again, I hope the country's not put there, but when you start calling people fascist, you're kind of laying the groundwork to take that step if you feel like it's going to be politically helpful to you, which is how the White House is making decisions right now. They were not a White House that was being well run on that, but everybody has had to notice that in the last couple of weeks, things have significantly changed in the country politically where people are, even since the raid.
Yeah, because
since the raid, they took a new turn.
Yeah, and much more aggressive turn. Let's try to quickly get John out of California. John, go ahead.
Hi, thank you much for taking my call. You know, yep. They try to confuse people. Fascism is all left. It's not all right. It's more government control, not less. You know, and the same thing.
It's autocratic government control too. I mean, you're talking about fascists. Mussolini was a fascist. Hitler was a Nazi. That was a form of fascism. I mean, so this is a very dangerous move, John, of what they're trying to do here. And it doesn't politically make sense that they said it, but they said it for a political reason.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. The politics don't add up. Like I said, you can't. The historical lesson here is not what they're doing here. They're just trying to say, well, how do I call someone a Nazi without saying Nazi? Because that may be too off-putting to too many people. But semi-fascist, maybe people who pay attention will get that, and they understand the wink and the nod there. And what will be interesting to see is if this was tried out to the group of donors, which is a lot of times what you're doing there is you're trying out messages, seeing how people react. They're your friends. They're your number one supporters. They're not going anywhere. If it works, you get a lot of attention. Do you start taking that to a campaign trail? Do we start hearing other surrogates? We're starting to hear other surrogates already repeat that this is totally fine to say, that this makes sense, and this is how we should label.
Even when questioned by the NBCs and CBSs and CNN in the world that it may have been a little over the top, they're still doubling down on it. All right, joining us next is Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment. We're in that matching challenge campaign, folks. So any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Again, aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
All right, we're joined now by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And this is interesting, Secretary Pompeo, because you wrote at aclj.org about the Mar-a-Lago raid, saying this isn't about Donald Trump, it's about you, it's happening everywhere you look. And then we saw late last week President Biden at this DNC event saying it's not just about Trump, it's the entire philosophy. So it's not just about him anymore, it's not about a few people, and he's going to say something. It's like semi-fascism. It seems like, Secretary Pompeo, the president confirmed what you wrote.
Oh, goodness. I that was not my intention to agree with President Biden. That may be a first. But his point and the point that I made in my piece was that that's right. What we have are bureaucracies, institutions that have been captured by the left, by the political leadership in those institutions. And they are now coming after all of us who have a conservative mindset. It's not just about chasing down President Trump. It is about chasing down 501c3s that are opening that have a conservative ideology. It's about chasing down parents who want nothing more than to make sure they have the capacity to know what their kids are learning at school. These are all things that our law enforcement agencies have taken on. They have prioritized things of the left in ways that, frankly, they have not done for an awfully long time. And we have to figure out a way to put them back in the box to reform them so that they are doing the actual work that they were intended. The mission that the Justice Department and the FBI and the Department of Education were all intended to do were about America, not about progressivism, and they've moved away from that.
Mike, the thing that is shocking to me is, first of all, the President of the United States using the term semi-fascist. Now, I'm still trying to figure out what a semi-fascist is. I mean, because is a semi-fascist, is that Mussolini before Hitler arose? Because he was still a fascist, but maybe when Hitler arose historically, we know the fascism really went into the next level. All horrible. I don't even know what a semi-fascist is. I know this. It's a pejorative term, and he's labeled basically half the country as semi-fascist. So I'm trying to figure out for me, what is the political benefit of this? Because it seems that even the CNNs of the world and NBCs and CBS have really drilled down on his people about this, although his people are doubling down on it.
There's no way he can explain what he means. President Biden doesn't know what he means by semi-fascism. Someone put that in front of him. He read it. What we know, though, is they do view half of America as indecent and wrong. Hillary Clinton called them deplorables. President Obama looked down and felt sorry for folks who joined the military. He said they cling to their Bibles and their guns. This is the same mindset that has run through from Obama to Biden to the progressive movement. They view half of America as outside of the American norm, when the truth it is a fraction of the Democrat Party, the progressive piece of the Democrat Party, that is deeply disconnected from our Judeo-Christian heritage and the things that made America special, unique, and exceptional.
When we see, you know, this kind of nonstop efforts, and we saw that, we see from the FBI, we see the raid, we see the media, we saw now Facebook come out. I mean, these are, it's almost sometimes tough to distinguish to where those companies start and where the government begins, because while they were disruptor companies, and that's kind of how they pitched themselves early on, now they just seem part of the mainstream. So they said, well, hey, we got this general warning, and we started making specific political decisions about, you know, the Hunter Biden story, that, you know, that we can't talk about, but you can talk about Russian collusion all you want. And they're coming right out and telling us. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg's not hiding this. And the FBI statement back was, we do this all the time.
No, Mark Zuckerberg was very honest about what they did. And in response to what, the FBI has not denied that happened. I'm sure it did. Remember, the New York Times, too, now says that they got it wrong on the Hunter Biden laptop. I think you've captured the essence of the challenge. They have inflamed half the country by their actions. They have behaved in ways that are so deeply outside the norms for those institutions that I hope two things will happen. One, I hope that there's an election this November that puts people in charge in the House and Senate that will continue to unmask this, will continue to share with the American people the magnitude and scale. And then I hope the next president will take this as a serious priority to reform these institutions, not to make them conservative, but to make them American institutions that treat every human being the same and provide equal justice under the law and are not constantly going after those of us who have deeply held conservative beliefs and deeply held religious beliefs.
So, Mike, the amp up here of the actions with the FBI, unprecedented under the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland, where they execute a search warrant against a former president of the United States home over documents. There was a document dispute, obviously, had been going on for a number of months, almost a year and a half. And I'm not going to get into the particulars because I don't know the particulars, but it ends up in a search warrant. A search warrant executed by a judge who recused himself from a case involving the former president and the former Secretary of State. He recused himself from that civil case, but yet did not think he needed to recuse himself from signing and executing a search warrant based on probable cause that a crime has been committed. Then eventually the former president's lawyers file a motion for a special master, and the Department of Justice, of course, said, we've already reviewed all of this, so there's no need for a special master, which means it's been reviewed, distributed, and out. And I said, you know, the lawyers don't seem to be responding at the speed of relevant here, but that's their decision, and it could be complications with their client. I don't know. But I do know this. It upped the angst among conservatives, even if they weren't pro-Donald Trump. This whole idea that this is happening in the United States today, 8 weeks from the midterm elections, this used to be the forbidden territory for the Department of Justice. It doesn't seem to be the rules any longer. But this really has amped things up.
It's remarkable, Jay. This was why my piece was about. It's not just about the president. So it's bad. They may well have gone after Donald Trump because he was Donald Trump. But what we know is they have now thrown out the normative rules. They've thrown out the set of understandings that we have all operated on for decades. And so it's going to require conservatives to understand that and accept that these rules are now gone, that the norms that we all understood that these institutions would operate within are now out the window so long as this crew is in office. It's frightening, to be honest with you, to see the way that they executed a search warrant in a historic way, yep, in a way that's so deeply different from how these things had been handled for decades in the United States, and haven't apologized for it and haven't explained it.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable.
Secretary Pompeo, we appreciate you joining us, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. And folks, we want you to support the work of the ACLG. This is an important time for us. It's why we have
a FOIA.
Folks like Secretary Pompeo on the team. With the FOIA, we are taking action on these issues.
Yeah, the concern about the FBI, you know, squelching a media story when you had the New York Times famously, you know, published the Pentagon Papers, and now, you know, 45, 50 years later, it's the exact opposite. The FBI, I understand them saying there's a concern about this and that, but to tell them then, don't run the story, or words to that effect. And Twitter did kill the story, and Mark Zuckerberg was very honest in saying on Facebook.
First time admitting on Facebook how they dethrottled.
Yeah, they dethrottled.
So he worked that whole idea, because a lot of people say, oh, that's a conspiracy, that maybe it's just there aren't as many conservatives on there anymore. Maybe, But he actually talked about how they do it. So he said, does it stop you from posting it? Maybe some people see it, but many, much less people will see it. So that also talked about the general, what is going on there, not just with the laptop, but anytime they want. Now, we've said before, again, yes, they're a private company, but they have a huge benefit of the Section 230 liability. And so they have become the government's agent. And so it's like the government tells them what to do, and that's the bureaucracy at work. They jump on it because they want to keep that protection. We want you to support the work of the ACLJ. I think, like Secretary Pompeo said, we've said this is not just about Donald Trump anymore. President Biden said that as well when he labeled people semi-fascists. He said this is not just Trump. You're included too. We got to fight back. Support our work. Donate today. ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. That's ACLJ.org.